You're listening to The B-Side, a podcast of Blessed Hope Community Church.
Hey, this is Malia, your host as usual, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Pastor David.
Surprise! People are wondering, who's it going to be?
How's your day been? You've been out of the office today.
It's been all right. Running.
Yes. Caring for your parents.
Caring for my parents. Yeah. Taking a trip to Iowa City.
Yeah. So those are always fun.
And, you know, walking around the U of I, watching for Caitlin.
Did you see her?
No.
No Caitlin's.
I was like, maybe she's, you never know, right?
Yeah.
She might be just walking in the,
right,
in the hospital. She wasn't. So, but it's been all right. It's been all right. Yours? Yeah. Alone here?
Yeah, it's actually been really peaceful. It's actually been a very productive day. We are just knocking things out as far as getting ready for Easter, which I know is crazy. It's not even Valentine's Day, but that is what we do. We
March 31st. It's
plan early. Yeah, actually, we sooner. I was kind of feeling a little behind, to be honest. So it was good to get stuff done.
Well, yeah, it'll be here before. I mean, even with we're not even halfway through February though, but we're close, and it just feels like this first part of February has flown by.
Yeah,
I mean, for sure. We're preparing for Piper's 12th birthday this month, and yes, Amy's having her mental preparations for our sweet baby getting older. So, yeah. But yeah, where it's like, oh my goodness, it's going to be here before we know it.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. So we are just about finished with James.
We are. We only have one sermon left.
Yes. So I hope that everyone's enjoyed it. So today we are going to be covering pretty much the whole chapter, the whole of chapter 5. So we've got verses 7 through 12, which is patience and suffering, and then verses 13 through 18, which is prayer, basically. We've still got, two verses left to cover?
Yes, we have.
Not next
two
week,
verses.
But in 2 weeks.
Yes, two verses.
Nice.
And listen, I'm still going to go.
Yeah, it'll still be an hour.
So anyways.
Oh, that's too funny. All right. So let's talk patience and suffering.
Okay.
How can we be an example of steadfastness in suffering? And when I mean an example, I guess I'm meaning like both to our brothers and sisters in Christ and also to a watching world. Probably more especially that, because I think that tends to be a little more countercultural. It's a great witness.
Yeah. I think James addresses it actually in there, because he tells us, you know, he tells us to be patient, and a lot of us might say, well, I am patient, you know, because sometimes when we're in the midst of suffering, we can't do anything about it many times. So many people foolishly say, well, I am being patient because I am in the suffering, but it's like, how are you reacting to it? And that's when James says, like, don't grumble. You know, and so I think that's our number one witness, is when a watching world or watching brothers and sisters see us not putting on fake faces. I mean, I think that's the other thing that we have to be careful of, because I think I truly believe you can eventually you're going to see through a fake face of, you know, like, oh, you know, you're in the middle of suffering and you're like gritting out the smile, and like, you know, that's not necessarily what James is saying with grumbling, but the grumbling I think is when it's that just that negativity that can that just comes out of us. The cursing of, not, I don't mean like cursing of swearing. I would just mean like cursing of like life sucks, or, you know, why does, you know, and just that negativity of not looking at the blessings of God, and just, you know, also rejoicing in that and worshiping in our suffering and all that. I think that's a huge factor with it. You know, like something God has like convicted me of actually just recently. I was walking out of, I think it was Subway. So I got Subway, didn't even know the person, you know, but as we're walking by, and you do the typical, like, how's it going? You know, and, you know, we all have our sarcastic, maybe some of us more than others, but our sarcastic responses, right? Yeah. Like living the dream, or, you know,
better
like,
than I should
better be. Than I should be, you know, and I, you know,
kill me.
And I'm just, God convicted me on that. He's just like, you know, I wasn't having a bad day.
Yeah.
But still, it's like these very flippant answers that we give.
So is the answer to just unload on people?
Well, not necessarily. Because, again, if it's somebody that doesn't know you, I mean, you don't want to, you know, yeah, it's not. But I kind of, I go back to at some point in time, I don't remember when it was said, who do we have? Like, go when confess our sins to one another, right? Who are our people? The sad part is, as many Christians, even in the church, we have people we're close to in the sense we hang out with, but we don't have the people that we can just be blunt honest with and just lay it all out. And then those being the people that look at us and then challenge us back in a right perspective and right attitude. I think if we're honest, we really don't have those people. But no, not, I wouldn't say unload on the person on the street. But again, it goes back to catching what we're projecting out to people, you know, like that's part of, as a Christian, even if it was my, the worst day of the world, man, I am blessed beyond blessed. And so, but we just, you know, that's God convicted me of like, why do you give these flippant quick answers of, you know, like I said, living the dream or, you know, could be worse or, you know, it's like, we're always so negative, even when our answers are. So I think that's a big one for it is like, how do we show a watching world? The other one I would say is, for a witness is don't shrink back. The Bible talks about that a lot. Don't shrink back. Like we are not ones that, you know, actually Paul talks about, we are not ones that shrink back, but we are ones that overcome. Like we keep pushing forward. And again, a lot of Christians, when things get hard, right, we shrink back. It's like, oh, well, what do I, you know, like we stop maybe attending church as much and we start being in our life group because we don't want to be around people and we don't want to, and we start finding ways to hide. The problem is we have to understand that suffering, when God allows suffering, the enemy's intention is to isolate, and we fall into that by separating ourselves. Like we step out of ministry, we don't serve anymore, we get out of the Bible, we get out of prayer, it's the witness is we push in. We have to force ourselves to push in because the feeling might not be there anymore. Right. So I think that's a huge witness is a lot of Christians, our witness in suffering gets marred because we pull back.
Okay.
We pull back. That's, and you think about it, how many people that claim faith, but they're not connected in churches. And if we really sat down and talked, and this is not a judgmental statement, if we sat down and talked, we could probably find places where it's like maybe a wound happened or something, you know, like whether it's church related or not, it's just, it could have been something else. And then it just manifested and snowballed, and before you know it, I was like, well, yeah, I backed away and I didn't feel comfortable going back. Or so I think those are two big things. One is our attitude in it. Again, it's not about big smile, that's not it, but looking at the bigger picture than just the suffering, and then also not shying away but pushing in. So
that's good.
I think those are two big witnesses
for sure. Okay, so moving on to the next portion of that section, when it talks about oaths, how are we guilty of not allowing our yes be yes or our no be no?
I mean, I think it's a pretty straightforward, I mean, well, it's being people of integrity. If you say you're going to do it, but the issue is how many of us, if we stopped, okay, so I'll do a confession moment. I have an oath that I made to God probably about 4 years ago that I have still not fulfilled.
Ooh.
And God reminds me of it often. And I believe he reminds me of it often, not because he's demanding what I gave as the oath. He's demanding it because I made the oath. Like, this is why, be careful what you swear, right? The Bible talks about that too. Don't just, you know, I'll do this for you, God, because as soon as you say it, you know. So I can relate to that. Let your yes be it, especially when it comes to God. How often maybe in our lives did we have that something bad was going to go back to that suffering, right? And we're like, God, if you get take care of this, I'll do this. And then we don't ever fulfill it. You know, I've actually heard some people say, well, God understood at that moment. You were just, it's like, but the Bible says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. You made an oath. You made a commitment to God. So again, that's that.
So do what you say you're going to
do. Do what you say you're going
to
do.
Don't use that mm-hmm. as a way to bolster yeah. a weak promise, mm-hmm. basically. Yeah. Okay.
And I think we're guilty. Again, this isn't about like, how dare we? But we mm-hmm. all have to. How often do you talk to somebody? Oh, I'll pray for you. Mm-hmm. Do you ever pray?
Right.
I mean, that's a
crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm guilty of doing that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah.
And I'm going to share this. So please, when anybody listening, I'm not sharing this because I'm trying to say, yeah, like, look at me, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So like, it was last week, actually. I was at Fairway. Mm-hmm. I was getting honey mustard. That's how detailed I can be with this. I knew what I was getting. I was going to get honey mustard. And somebody that I knew that come walking by me, and you ever have those moments where you look, you see them, and it was like, I recognize you, but I don't know if I recognize you at first. So I had that kind of moment, and then they kind of did the same to me, and then they turned and actually was getting something right in front of me, and we made eye contact, and we're like, mm-hmm. hey, how's it going? Well, they had been diagnosed with cancer about a year ago, and they had asked for prayer back previously, and they were prayed over. Well, as I'm talking to them, they're telling me, updating me on what's going on, and mm-hmm. and I was about to say it. I was about to be like, well, man, I will be praying for you. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not, because it was, I'm going to say it. It felt awkward. It felt weird, but I all of a sudden had this moment of,
let's pray right now. Yep.
So good. I stepped over. I put my arm around him. I was like, let's pray.
Yeah.
And right there and there, in uh-huh. front of the honey mustard and ketchup at Fairway, right? Prayed with them.
I love it.
And then, you know.
That's amazing.
But that's kind of that thing, right? I could have very easily, because I will confess it. I probably would have said, I will be praying for you.
And then forgot.
And then probably
yeah.
not legitimately offered a prayer.
Sure.
So that's, I think that's a lot of what,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. Actually, that's a very good segue to the next section.
Okay.
With the prayer of faith. So, like, this is something that I always will see when there's a tragedy or someone loses a loved one and they post something on Facebook, and the amount of people that are like, oh, we're praying for you, mm-hmm. and which is great. It's such a nice sentiment to share.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering, so if someone is not a follower of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and they say they're going to pray for someone, like, does God still like bless those prayers? Does he still answer the prayers of someone who does not follow him?
That's a huge question. And can I point at, you know, biblical, I will tell you what I was taught, mm-hmm. and it made sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
A person that is not a redeemed child of God, a person that is not born again, a person that has not received Jesus, I was taught the only prayer that God hears for that individual is first has to be the prayer of repentance.
Mm.
Like, that's the yeah. prayer that God will be quick to hear from that person. Now, does that mean that God, you know, I mean, I don't want to make it out like God can't hear it. You know, it's kind of right. like, can he hear my prayers? God knows everything. He hears everything. He expresses mm-hmm. everything. But he actually talks about this in the Old Testament, where he says, your sins have actually blocked your prayers from me.
Mm.
I mean, so God talks about our sin actually becomes mm-hmm. a barrier between, because we're not in a right relationship.
Right.
So I'm going to say again, I don't doubt the sincerity of people that don't know Jesus that say that. I don't deny even them believing in what they say they're going to offer up. Mm-hmm. But I am a firm believer that the first and only prayer that God hears from a person that does not know him has to be a prayer of repentance mm-hmm. before he'll hear any others.
Yeah. Okay, so on the flip side, why do the prayers of a righteous person have great power, according to this passage? Like, does their righteousness entitle them to make requests to God that others can't?
Absolutely. Molly's like, more.
yeah. No one-word answer.
I'm going to say absolutely in the sense of this, exactly what we're saying. Prayers of a righteous man means they are in a right relationship with God. So in this context of the New Testament, this is a person that has put their faith in Jesus. So that's mm-hmm. not some. So I don't want anybody hearing this to say, "Oh, righteous means that they're perfect," and they're right. you know, that righteous man
that
is.
That person doesn't exist.
Exactly. I'm endowed with the righteousness of Christ.
Yeah.
So I am righteous, And so my prayers are powerful and effective, not because of myself, mm-hmm. but because of Jesus, right? That's what James is ultimately saying. Now, can I make a request that others cannot make? Of course. But does that mean my request automatically like twists God's arms to do it?
Right.
No. In the same way, as a father, I want my children to know they can make any request to me. But it does not determine what my answer always is, mm-hmm. right? Just because my child prays for something or asks me for something does not automatically mean just because they're my child, I'm going to be like, of course you get that. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to have their best interest in mind. So when I say absolutely, I think as Christians, we should absolutely be willing to make our request to God, but then be prepared for our Father to guide us into where he wants us in the answer. So what I mean by that is like, let's go back to the healing thing. Okay. Lord, heal me. You know, like if I'm praying that pray, mm-hmm. heal me. Make that request and constantly make that request. Mm-hmm. Persistence in that request. But then be willing to let God guide you and say, I hear you, but that's not the plan I have for you. Mm-hmm. Like, don't be the, well, God, I'm going to be the child that now throws my temper mm-hmm. tantrum mm-hmm. because I didn't get what I wanted. Mm-hmm. I don't want to like.
But why does God value persistent prayer? Because he still wants us to be persistent.
Yes. The persistence, in my opinion, is not for the benefit of God. It's for the benefit of us. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the persistence is not in I'm going to wear God down mm-hmm. as much as when I state. Because notice the thing. If I'm persistent in prayer, that means I'm choosing to be in the presence of God in prayer. Mm-hmm. Like, God already knows whether he's going to answer. He already knows that. He already knows if my faith is, you know, because it goes back to the, you got to have more faith or you got to, mm-hmm. God already knows all that. So why does he wait? He waits because for our benefit, not his benefit. He doesn't wait to answer prayer in the way we want him to because he's waiting to see if we're genuinely, like if mm-hmm. we're genuine or not. Mm-hmm. I think he's doing it for our benefit. He's like, I'm growing you, so I'm holding off, right? Mm-hmm. I want to see. So it's for our benefit, not his. Okay. That's my belief
yeah.
in it.
Yeah.
You know, because God already knows what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. And how. So we go back to the example of Elijah in the passage. He already knew he was sending rain. Mm-hmm. He already planned to send rain. He already promised to send rain. Mm-hmm. That was for the benefit of Elijah and for the servant.
Right.
More than it was for the right. benefit of God.
I've always heard, too, that I get the patriarchs mixed up, so if I'm wrong, you have to correct me. I don't know why I struggle with them. But when Abraham is, like, interceding for right before God, like, destroys Sodom and Gomorrah
yeah.
and asks, like, if there's mm-hmm. so many righteous people there, will you not destroy? Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the same thing, right? Like, he wasn't changing God's mind. Mm-mm. It was more of an exercise for mm-hmm. him as in like intercession.
Exactly.
What do you call it?
Prayer. Well, he was interceding. Yeah. He was interceding. Yeah. It was intercession prayer. Okay. Yeah. Cause God already knew there was not. I mean, if you think about mm-hmm. it, God only, he brought out one righteous man.
And yeah.
And it was Lot. Yeah. Right. And technically he didn't even do it for
jacked it up.
Exactly. And then his daughters weren't very much better because we're not going to get to that, but read your Bible. There's really messed up cave scene. Like the next thing that happens.
Oh man. Anyone who thinks the Bible is boring.
But I know.
I haven't read very far.
I know. When they make like the Bible TV movies and they're like rated PG, it's like you're cutting a lot out.
Yeah.
But even when God did that, he didn't do that for the benefit of even Lot. Mm-hmm. He did that for the benefit of Abraham. Mm-hmm. Abraham was really the righteous man that he was honoring and by saving Lot and trying to save Lot's wife and mm-hmm. children. But that's the thing. God already knew. Like, so when Abraham was making these requests, surely if there's 45, you wouldn't do this. Surely if there's 40, you know, right. Abraham just kept bringing it down. And God knew the whole time. Like, Abraham, you can get down to zero, man.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is.
Right.
So, again, our prayers are not, and I think I've shared this before, but the greatest analogy I've ever heard towards prayer is we think prayer is about changing God's mind. Mm-hmm. But prayer is, we are in the life raft. Prayer is throwing the rope to shore and pulling. Mm-hmm. We are not pulling the shore towards us. The shore is, we are being pulled towards the shore. God is the shore.
God's molding our hearts.
Yes. So when we are praying, we're not, you know, like, God's going to hear my prayer. Now he's going to say, oh, I never thought of doing that.
Right.
You know, he's like, no, I'm bringing you towards me.
Yeah.
Not you bringing me towards you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Man, I think that's all.
I think we covered it, right?
Wow, look at us.
Man.
Oh my goodness. This is going to be the shortest podcast ever. I'm kind of impressed with us right now.
Well, how long has it been? I mean, we can keep
20
going.
Minutes.
Oh, well, you know, some people might appreciate it.
So, what has been, I'm curious, what has been your biggest takeaway through James since you've had to like deep dive for I don't even know how many months we've been doing this now?
So it's not my biggest takeaway. This is the first thing that pops into my mind. So in this study, I have done a lot more word dives.
Oh, that's right. I think we talked about that. Yeah.
So like as an example, just this last sermon, a prayer. Yeah. This. So I am, and I talked a little bit about it on Sunday. I am, as a pastor, if you call on me to pray for you, I will anoint you with oil. Mm-hmm. I believe that that's a scriptural, because of James, right? Right. So just even recently, I had never studied this before real deep, and but studying this, that the word for anoint there is there's two different words for anointing in the Bible. One has the supernatural; it's connected directly to Christ.
Okay, sure.
The anointing of Christ upon you, that's the supernatural healing. That's the this word is anointing, and I shared it in the sermon. That is the practical natural. Word for anointing, which that's why I said it's a medical connection.
Yeah.
It's not the anoint with oil and the power of God upon it's
which
like,
I think is a really good
So that's why I thought I was just fascinated by it. It's like, yes, pray. Yeah. Pray with authority, pray with confidence, pray with perseverance and assurances, and then go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Like
don't like God gives us these good graces for a reason.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like that's just something recently that's not like this big takeaway, but it really made me pause for a minute. Like, man, that's you know, because that's the number one scripture that's usually chosen to say, you know, anoint with the power of the yes, we are doing that. But it's like go to the doctor.
Yeah.
So that was a big takeaway for me, just even this last sermon. A lot of it's just been the big takeaway is it's so practically easy. Okay, so be easy in the sense of it's not easy to get our minds around being obedient, but like James is just
he lays it out,
just
so,
do this.
Yeah.
And we make it so much more complicated than it needs to be. So that's one of my big takeaways every week is just this. Okay, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
I mean, why are we complicating it so much? So
That's good.
Another big takeaway honestly with James is just I have to remind myself that this is the brother of Jesus.
I know. That just gets me.
Yeah. So when you hear him say certain things and then look back how it connects to Jesus, it's interesting to me because the Bible tells us he didn't have faith until after the resurrection.
Right.
So it's like, can you picture James hearing his brother teach and the whole time sitting going like a stupid older brother of mine?
Yeah.
Like
he's
crazy. But it's like it was still in him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's bringing it out.
Wouldn't you love to hear like his conversion story?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I think that'd be so great.
So I didn't share it this Sunday during the sermon, and I should have. But just thinking of it now, just a little bit tidbit of information. James was known because about prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Church history says that he actually had a nickname.
Yeah.
Old Camel Knees.
Yep.
Because he prayed so much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Right? To be known by that guy prays so much on his knees humbly before God.
Mm-hmm.
That his knees are like misshapen.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So, just kind of that information, like getting deep into it, that you just,
Yeah. Very cool.
So, that's mine.
All right.
Well, hold on. We're still, what about yours?
Gosh, yeah, that's a good question. I'm supposed to ask the questions, David.
We're filling up time.
Actually, I think kind of what you said as far as like, just how practical and how simple it really is, even though it's hard. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of our hearts, right?
Yeah.
And praying that God will continually shape and mold and sanctify so that these being obedient is easier. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep. again, we just make it so much harder than it needs to be.
Yep. Yep. So. It's good stuff. All right. Well, we have a guest speaker this Sunday, and then we'll wrap up James the following Sunday. And then we are on to a new sermon series, which I'm so excited about. We are going to walk through the book of Revelation, verse by verse.
Not necessarily, no.
Right, I mean, still a good, deep walk through it.
Some sermons will be a little bit more in-depth, verse by verse. Some of them will be, you know, taking a chunk and looking at, you know. Yeah. So, yeah.
No, it'll be good. I'm really excited.
And just so it's apocalypsis.
That's a hard one.
It is. I just thought it was a cool looking word when I saw
it. Yeah, it is so cool. I like it.
Which, for anybody, that's the Greek word for revelation.
And it's revelation, not with an S.
Yeah, revelations.
It's not plural.
Nope.
It's one revelation.
That's right.
I just know someone that likes to make it plural. And
it's like Walmart.
Drives me crazy. Yeah.
We're going to Walmart's.
All right. I better stop while I'm ahead. Thanks for listening.